Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, you're listening to the Technology Equals Equality podcast.
Welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 47, our final episode of 2015. So I just want to stop and take a moment to say thank you. Thank you to the guests who have taken the time to share your journey and your expertise with the techie community. And to the techie community for tuning in week after week and checking out the show. I hope that it's helping you. If you're looking for resources or any sort of help, please check out the show over at technologyequality.com, or you can always go to the blog at technology-equality.com. So without further delay, I am super pleased to welcome our final guest of 2015, Faith Cantor, author of Living a Life Less Toxic, health and well-being coach, therapist, nutritional consultant, food intolerance specialist, raw food and fermenting expert, environmentalist, traveler, wife, mother to three fur babies, and an all-around lover of life. Good morning, Faith. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. And you?
I'm excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to touch base today.
Thank you for having me here.
Certainly. So what we would love to know is a story of how it is you once saw the future before you began branding your business and building it out and really working for yourself. What did you think life was going to be like, even before you got sick and really began healing yourself? What did you think the future would be?
I'm trying to think of a response about possibly swearing. Rubbish is what initially I thought it would be.
That's a very honest answer, Faith. I don't think anyone bothered to state that. You know, everybody says, well, I thought about doing this or I thought about doing that. But, you know, really being honest about what you thought the future would be like you realistically, you thought it was going to be crap in the future. There wasn't much that you saw in a positive light is what I'm getting from that. That's cute. I love that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I felt, and I think it's how a lot of people feel, like I was just surviving.
Right. Day in and day out trying to make things work versus enjoying your time.
Yeah.
Totally understand. So, well, as you began, you know, getting sick and dealing with the illnesses, I understand at one point, I believe you were in India, am I correct, when you took very, very ill with a chronic illness? Is that correct?
Yeah, I was traveling around, had been for a few months, and I was in India, and I got a stomach bug, which obviously a lot of people do, but it was months. Really was months before I felt even vaguely how I'd felt beforehand. And then travelled back to the UK and promptly got glandular fever. So it was not the best of times.
Can imagine. I myself was somewhat thrust into entrepreneurship through a very similar situation. It turned out to be Crohn's disease, but it was, you know, 6 months of testing, and since then of bringing myself off of the meds and kind of self-recovery through diet. So I thought your story was very, very interesting in that sense. So tell us a little bit about how it was you went about, you know, changing what it was that you were doing to go about, you know, healing yourself, and then what those steps were that you began taking to, you know, what it was that made you begin the thought process of turning this into a career.
I guess I've been unwell for a long time after that, because similar to you, it takes a long time to get a diagnosis and things like that. So by the time you actually get an idea of what's wrong so that you can actually start looking into treatments, you've been unwell for a very long time usually. And I guess I'd read all the horror stories about, you know, people being so unwell for so many years and being drip fed and all these other things. And I, one day read a book and then watched the film of The Way of the Peaceful Warrior by Dan Millman, and it really made me realise what I was doing to myself by, you know, constantly just waking up each morning, ticking off symptoms and going about my day feeling sorry for myself. And that was a real turning point for me. I suddenly then decided that was it. I was going to get well no matter what. I wasn't continuing like this. So I guess then I just started reading lots of recovery stories. I started trying new things, trying new treatments. And before long, I started to recover quite a lot of my, original health. although I made some really great progress really quickly, I got to about 75% and I wasn't really getting much further. So I sort of upped the ante a bit and I started doing lots more and trying lots of new things and doing lots of research with the energy that I'd recovered so far. And people could see that how different things were for me, not just physically from the chronic fatigue syndrome and other things that I was recovering from, but mentally how different I was, how I was reacting to things in a different way and much more calmer because I was meditating and less reactive because I was tapping and all these other things I was using. And they started telling me that I should tell other people about it and I should sort of share my recovery story, and although I wasn't, like I say, fully recovered then. And I sort of thought, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know what I'm talking about, and who's going to want to listen to me? But I think I must have started around that time. I started a blog and people were interested and they were asking lots of questions and wondering how I was doing it and all this sort of thing. So I realized that actually people, even though you don't think that many people have things like the illnesses that you have, actually quite a lot of people have got quite a lot of things wrong. And a lot of what I was learning and how I was healing was not just things that could just purely help people recover from chronic fatigue syndrome or depression or IBS or anything. It was actually, most of it helped across the board for all sorts of different illnesses. Because I was detoxing body, mind and home, that really does help with everything, really, to some degree or another. Because we've become quite incredibly toxic these days. And not just like the foods we bring in, but our thought processes and things like that. So it just kind of spiraled. And eventually someone said, oh, you should write a book. And I was like, oh, I suffer from dyslexia and all these other thoughts and feelings about, you know, putting yourself out there all started to come up. And it was scary, but it was an invitation to heal something else within me.
And
I really started to realize that so many people could benefit from living less toxically in mind, body and home, and not just for our own health or that of our family, but also for the planet as well, and what we're doing to the planet when we're chucking all these toxins down the sink and, you know, down the toilet and other things. So it kind of just snowballed. I became really passionate about what I was doing for the first time in, I think, forever. I was really passionate. I was really driven. Really wanted to obviously help myself, but also wanted to help other people and let them see that it could be cheap and easy to be healthy. It doesn't have to be expensive and time consuming. So I think I just followed my passion from that moment on. I just followed what lit me up, really. And that's kind of just carried on till this day.
I love that. I love how it went from healing yourself to listening to those around you who were clearly positive, family and friends who led you in the direction of listening to what it is you had accomplished and realistically sharing that with those around you and beyond. And then from there, it grew into a passion for you. And I love stories like that. I love that you shared that because I think it's important for those looking at an entrepreneurial journey or those even thinking about, you know, the fact that they might not be happy in what they're doing currently to understand that you may not necessarily have a clue as to what it is that you're going to do. You may not have a clue as to what your journey is going to even remotely relate to. But if you get out there, you try new things and you open yourself up to the opportunity and the possibility of other opportunities, you know, you may find a passion and may find something that you just kind of pick up and run with out of the blue versus it being something that was some sort of, you know, lifelong goal or dream. So I think that's an excellent story, Faith. So thank you for that. What did you feel was the most difficult part of becoming an entrepreneur? So you had gone about, you know, getting to that point of like you said, not necessarily 100% good health, but you had gotten healthy enough to a degree where people around you were seeing the difference. You decided, okay, I will share this message. I will begin, you know, an entrepreneurial journey of sorts. What do you feel was the hardest part of making that transition or making that decision?
I would say the hardest part is believing in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you can, it's easy to write down a business plan or, you know, make lists about things or that sort of thing. But actually taking those first few steps and believing that people are going to want to, you know, buy whatever you're selling or come in and have a consultation or read your book or your blog or whatever it is. It's that belief in yourself. But I just see that now as an, like I said earlier, as it's just another invitation to heal something else that needs resolving within us.
I think that mindset is one of the key points. It is the foundational point that I come back to often on every episode is believing in you, understanding who you are, and knowing that you're going to be successful above all else. Keeping that positive mindset from the very beginning of the journey is just so, like I said, foundational to the journey itself. When you kind of fall off of that and when you're not keeping yourself in good spirits or when you surround yourself with other people who are not necessarily positive or understanding of what it is you're attempting to accomplish, it can create that, you know, negative internal dialogue where you tend to, you know, beat yourself up about how impossible, you know, whatever it is you're thinking of doing really could be or the obstacles that can get in the way. You know, that's funny because it kind of leads into the next question about, you know, what do you feel some of the key pieces are when it comes to market research? It's funny with market research, I always find that it turns into procrastination on certain pieces simply because I spend so much time focusing on little things and allowing myself to get kind of caught up in what could be or, you know, what, in what way something may be perceived. Do you feel that there's, you know, a limit, either a minimum or maximum to the amount of market research or to the type of market research that someone should be performing when they do think about an entrepreneurial journey?
I may not be the right person to ask this because I have a slightly different take on it than most people. my take is that I do what feels right. I do very little research. I do very little marketing or any other thing like that. I just feel into things. And if they feel right, if I feel passionately about them, then that's where I go with whatever I'm doing because I know I'm going to have the energy for that. I know I've got the spark for it and I know I'm going to create something that hopefully will be worthwhile to people. But if I go with something because other people think that I should, or because, you know, 10 people out of 20 have said so, my heart's not in it, and I don't create things that are anywhere near as beneficial to people as I do if I'm in flow, I guess you would call it. And the way I sort of feel into that is I quite often go off and I meditate, and then I just feel into whatever the question is, or wherever I'm thinking about going, or whatever I'm thinking about doing from a meditation. And that's the same as where my writing comes from as well. And it's so much more authentic and genuine and easy. It becomes a lot easier as well. It doesn't become hard work.
No, I understand completely. I think that's an excellent piece that you put out there, that it's not just about the research, that it's also about taking that time to kind of reflect and recognize whether or not the decisions that you're looking at are realistically feel right to you and are something that fits in with what it is you're looking to accomplish as a whole. Mm-hmm. So, Faith, do you feel that there is anything, if you could go back, say, you know, a decade or so, and warn yourself and tell yourself, you know, don't do this, or quote unquote, you know what I mean, your younger self, what would it be that you would tell yourself to take into consideration prior to taking this sort of a journey, you know, prior to taking on an entrepreneurial journey?
Wow. There's probably a gazillion things. I would say one of the things that I've learned is don't take things so seriously. And especially in business, when you start going down that entrepreneurial sort of route, you tend to think, you know, you have to do all the things the right way and tick all the boxes and be a certain way and talk to people a certain way and all this other, all this, you just put all this pressure on yourself. And I've found that when I don't take things so seriously, everything just is a lot easier. And I don't put so much pressure on myself. So I think that would be one of the main things. And the procrastinating thing that you mentioned earlier as well. It's so easy to spend the day getting ready to do things. So, you know, that would probably be a little thing I would say to my younger self would be stop messing about with all that and, you know, just get on with it.
Right. No, definitely. I agree 100%. It's very easy to become distracted with tasks that you can claim that you were busy with all day, and begin procrastinating on just by decision making. But you know, that's when it comes back to really getting organized and pulling out lists and really recognizing, you know, whether or not you're performing tasks that are actually going to move you forward and continue getting towards that end goal. So please tell us a little bit about Living a Life Less Toxic. I'd love to know, you know, a little bit about the book and where the listeners can go about getting a copy of their own.
Living a Life Less Toxic is pretty much what it says on the book. It's about living less toxically in mind, body, home, and environment. So that's everything from meditation and mindfulness, gratitude, self-talk, things like EFT, tapping, food, fermenting, raw food, making your own cosmetics and cleaning products, decluttering the home and thus mind, and just looking after the planet a bit more as well. So it kind of covers a bit of everything, really, and it's a little bit about obviously my own journey from recovery, but more so it's the things that I found that really benefited me and also then benefit my clients, so that people don't have to spend, you know, 2 years doing all the research themselves. Because, like I said, most of the things within the book, although they're for, they help me recover from my particular illnesses, they actually can help many people with many different illnesses regain, if not all the health, then a good proportion of it. Because, like I said, a lot of us are just very toxic in mind and body these days. So it's just really simple, easy, and cheap ways we can sort of regain some health and vitality, really. And you can find it on Amazon. So pretty much everyone's got access to Amazon, I think, everywhere. So it's on Amazon in most of the countries. So it's nice and easy to find.
Excellent. I will be sure to put a link to the Amazon page for the book onto the show notes page so that it's easily accessible to listeners. And I love it. The book sounds like it is an A to Z organization book for life, which so many of us can use at this point.
Yeah.
And it also sounds like you really tried to make sure that it was, you know, economical in the options and the choices and the activities that you do provide. You know, it seems as though you really tried to make sure that it was cost effective and not something that's going to be outlandish to the general person who attempts to pick up the book to help themselves. So it sounds exciting, and I can't wait to get my copy, Faith. So wonderful. But Faith, the show is really designed to help entrepreneurs come up with new ideas for businesses in the industry that they may not have been thinking of. And we would absolutely love to help you. So if you could think of anything at all in your business that you could change if we gave you a magic wand, what would it be and why?
That's a really good question. I guess for me, it would be the IT side of things. It's very easy to get sucked into spending a day in front of a computer and only managing to do, you know, a couple of images for a Facebook post or something or other. So for me, it would be to be able to get that time back that you spend doing all the faffy computer things.
I love that. Someone to just run the back end 100%. I completely understand. Or even a cloud-based system that will just kind of operate all of those little pieces that can be so unbelievably time consuming. I understand the same. That's one of those things that I feel like I end up procrastinating on, because I'll, you know, be creating a post and trying to design some sort of picture to go with it. And I can literally get lost in that for hours. So I agree 100%. Faith, that's great. Excellent. Well, Faith, you have been absolutely wonderful, and we truly appreciate you joining us this morning. Please share the best way that our listeners can find you.
That would be to go to my website. That's www.faithcantor.com, although I'm also on all the social medias pages and things. So, you know, if you just put in Faith Cantor, it will come up with me. That's the benefits of having a slightly unusual name.
It is. It works well, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Faith. Well, once again, thank you. We truly appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you ever so much for having me here. It's been lovely to speak to you.
I think my favorite part of that interview is as Faith is describing how she became really passionate for the first time in forever. I totally understand and sympathize with that feeling. This podcast became my passion when I started it, and it was the first time in a really, really long time that I was truly passionate and enjoying something that I was doing on a daily basis. Have you taken a step back and given yourself time to find your passion? If not, do so now. Holiday season, end of the year, last week, take some time to start thinking about things.
and reach out to Faith Cantor at faithcantor.com. You can always find her through our show notes page at technologyequality.com/Faith Cantor. Thank you once again, Techie Community, for making 2015 such an awesome year. I truly appreciate it. And until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions next year, enjoy the week and Happy New Year.